Good morning. Brother Richard, I got that joke. Wow, that's hot. I got that joke. I don't know if everybody did. I got that joke. If it's a Catholic holiday, does that mean it's universal? It should be, right? Fatherhood is trying to be destroyed by this world, and it ought to be universal. Exodus chapter 2, if you would. Exodus chapter 2. Just by way of a brief review, in starting, just want to take kind of a bird's eye view of our Sunday school time, and then we'll kind of zoom in, and maybe if you're new to the church or just visiting with us, we as a church go through the Bible during our Sunday school time from cover to cover, probably in about 5 years. And a bunch of the men of the church are assigned a topic, a lesson, and then they get the opportunity to present that. I appreciate the opportunity this morning to do that. And this past fall, we started back in the book of Genesis. And the months of April and May, we got to the life of Joseph. And we had 6 lessons in the life of Joseph. We looked at him as Joseph the hated, Joseph the humbled, Joseph the exalted, Joseph the provider, Joseph the reconciler, and Joseph as the savior. And this brought us out of the book of Genesis and into Exodus, where Brother Ed began last week, and we'll spend some time for a couple of weeks looking first at Moses in particular, and then into the exodus of the Hebrew people coming out of Egypt, being led by Moses. Last week, Brother Ed started us off looking at Moses and his birth, where he also took a look at some social issues, practices and beliefs invented by mankind. We looked at slavery and its beginnings, abortion, the murder of babies, infanticide, population control, and genocide, and look at some of these things and how they're all rooted in ideas and philosophies by man. And then Brother Ed finished off with comparing and contrasting Moses and our Lord Jesus at his birth. You can look at Moses, his life as a whole, and kind of break it down into 3 phases or stages. It's kind of easy to do. We can look at Moses' birth and his time in Egypt, a time of 40 years. We can look at that as maybe like his beginnings or his first phase. And then we can look at Moses' life in the land of Midian as he fled from Pharaoh, traveled to the land of Midian, and he's there 40 years. And then we could look at the last phase, Moses leading God's people out of Egypt, and it's bondage into the promised land up until his death, about 40 years. Or we might say Moses' beginnings and Moses' preparation and Moses' time of service. You can kind of see that as you break it down and analyze it. And while the scriptures don't give us much about Moses' beginnings in Egypt, just a few short chapters, or much of his time in the land of Midian, we do at times catch some glimpses through the window into this man's heart and what he's thinking and what he's feeling and where his heart's at during the transition where it seems where he's from one phase to the other. So last week we looked at the birth of Moses, and this morning we're going to look at the choice of Moses. The choice of Moses. No, not the call of Moses. Lord willing, that'll be next week, but the choice Moses made to leave Egypt. So let's read together in Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, and let's start in verse number 10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren. And he looked his way, this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flocks. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to rule their father, he said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Let's go back to verse number 10. And let's pray. Lord, want to thank you for our time together this morning. And thank you for the freedom and the liberty that we have to assemble like this and open your word. And Lord, and hear what you have for us. And Lord, what you're trying to teach us. Lord, we want to thank you for the peace and the safety that you have given us, even today, this morning, to do just that. We ask that you'd help us this morning with your word in Jesus' name. Amen. We start in verse 10, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Now, the scripture doesn't exactly give us an age in which Moses was given back to Pharaoh's daughter. Moses was given back for the sole purpose of nursing him. That tells me that Moses was most likely given back to Pharaoh's daughter just after he was weaned. But this is often different time periods in the infant's life based on culture, and we're not going to get into all of that this morning. Verse 11, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. It came to pass when Moses was grown. We learn, and we're going to see this later on, that Moses at this point is 40 years old. 40 years old. So between verse 10 and 11, there's over three decades of his life. And we can kind of read through it and gloss right over it. But that's think about that. Three decades of his life. I'm 45 years old. That's over two-thirds of my life right there, and we don't have anything about it. We hear of his birth, and we read of his birth, and the miracle how the Lord spared him, and the Lord spared him for a reason. And then all of a sudden in verse 11, when Moses was grown, and we pick the narrative back up again when he's 40. And when he was 40, he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. So what we read about is Moses' birth, Moses' beginnings. There's a majority of time of his life at that time that we have nothing on. And then all of a sudden, the narrative continues with Moses committing murder. In the first degree, premeditated, he looks this way, he looks that way, he kills the man, and then he buries him in the sand. Verse 13, and when he went out the second day, behold, two of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? What's going on with you guys? You guys are brethren. Why are you acting like this? Why are you treating each other like this? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? Well, actually, he was a prince. And he was a judge. And Pharaoh did that. And the Lord allowed that to happen. So ultimately, he was a judge and he was a prince. And the Lord did that. And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Verse 15. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. The land of Midian. Moses flees there, and he fled northeastern Egypt and crossed the Sinai Peninsula and dwelt in the land of Midian, which is to the west of the Arabian Desert, for those of you that like geography. And Sinai Peninsula comes down, and he crossed northeast Egypt, crossed the Sinai Peninsula, and down into what is modern-day Saudi Arabia in the northwest corner off the Red Sea there. This land of Midian is about 200 to 400 miles away from Egypt. You say, wow, that's quite of a range. Well, it depends on how he got there. The Bible's really not specific on his path of travel. Did he take a more northern route and then go southern? Or did he follow the Sinai Peninsula coming down and then cross? And he probably went whatever the trade route was. But I want you to think about this. Whether it's 200 or 400, it's a long way. And by foot? Horseback? Camelback? He had the wealth of Egypt. Did he hire somebody to take him there? How did he get there? Regardless, it's a long way. And 200 to 400 miles in the comforts of our vehicles with air conditioning and the suspension systems on these machines that we drive, he didn't have any of that. 200 to 400 miles is long for us. Here he is. In the land of Midian. But look at verse 15. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh. So we look at this and we see Moses is afraid. He's afraid that his crime is going to get out. And it makes its way back to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh wants to punish him for his crime and slay him. And so Moses flees. And as we look at this, just a couple of verses in this transitional time in Moses' life, it would be easy to come to the conclusion and say the man was fearful. The man was afraid for his life. And I want to submit to you this morning that from the Lord's perspective, it was anything but that. There's a photo, and you can see it on the internet. It's actually pretty powerful. It's of a lioness. And the photo is from one direction, and as you see this lioness, you see a cub dangling out of its mouth. And you would say, well, why would a mother devour her baby? Why would a mother devour the cub? And then on the other side of the photo, you see this perspective over here, and it's actually the mother with the jaws around the cub's neck, and you can see the whole head, and you can see the body hanging there. And what you actually see from this perspective is that lioness protecting that cub. But from this side over here, you don't see that. And so you can look at that and you say, well, which one is right? Well, they're both right. One is more of a complete perspective than the other, but perspective is powerful. And so turn to Acts chapter 7. I want to look at this morning the Lord's perspective. The Lord's perspective on really what was going on in Moses' heart and his mind and at this transitional time. And Acts chapter 7, let's look at verse 22. Let's back up to verse 20. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Okay, so we're going to get a little more information here on this first phase of his life. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. If you go back into the context of this, this is Stephen, and he is speaking up in defense of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's before he is stoned to death, and he's giving them a history of God's dealing with them. And he gets to Moses' life, and he says, this man Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians. I want you to think about that for a minute. Not some, not part of the wisdom, all of the wisdom. All of the wisdom of the Egyptians. Now today, if you're a builder, if you're in construction, you can look back at some of the structures that the Egyptians have built in their wisdom, and you can look at those structures and be absolutely amazed from a physical standpoint, what they built, what they had to do it. They're still trying to figure out how they did it. And you look at all of these structures and the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that these people had in order to do that. Here it says, Moses, all wisdom that was in Egypt, all wisdom, Moses was learned in it. This man was knowledgeable. This man was intelligent. This man is smart. He's a genius. This man has knowledge and understanding. Would you agree? And if we're not careful, we can miss out on some things that the Lord would have for us if we don't acknowledge that there's some wisdom in this world. Now, sometimes it's earthly, sensual, devilish. We read that. But these people had wisdom that people are trying to figure out today what that was. It also says Moses, verse 22, was mighty in words and deeds. I find this fascinating. We're not going to dive deep into that, but maybe next week you get a little bit into Moses' call and he's given excuse after excuse after excuse when the Lord wants to use him. And what does he do? He talks about his slow of speech. That's not what that says. Was mighty in words. This man not only had all the wisdom of Egypt, he was learning in it. This man could speak. This man could communicate. This man didn't just speak words, but when it came to communication, the Bible says he's mighty at it. You say, well, which one is right? Well, they're both right. We'll get to that later on. And in deeds. Moses in Egypt was a mighty man. He was a mighty man. Let's go on. Verse number 23. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart. At this time in Moses' life, somewhere in those decades that is often silent, there's some things going on within him. We get a glimpse of that here. It says it came into his heart to visit his brethren. Moses knew he was a Hebrew. When he knew that, at what point? I don't know. Did Pharaoh's daughter raise him with that knowledge and that understanding in the midst of all the learned things that he had acquired? He knew he was a Hebrew. When he was 40 years old, four decades into his life, that knowledge entered into his heart. And he said, those are my people. Those are my brethren. And as Moses is in the comforts of Egypt and the wealth of Egypt and all the pomp and the circumstances of prince, he says, you know what? I need to go see my people. If you recall, they're in the land of Goshen, which is just outside of that area. And so he had to leave the wealth and the prosperity and go down there and take a look. And what happens? Verse 24, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. But look at this, verse 25. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. Somewhere in this four decades, Moses came to the realization that God is going to use him to deliver his people. How that happened and how it all transpired, I don't know, but it says there that Moses knew. And when Moses went out and his heart is burdened for his people and he sees them being wrong and he takes matters into his own hands and that's what Egyptians do and the learned wisdom of all the Egyptians and he takes matters into his own hands and he commits murder. But look at where his heart is. His heart has moved towards the things of God and his people. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's find out a little more. Hebrews chapter 11. Moses could not understand why the Hebrews didn't understand that he was sent to deliver. Moses knew something. Moses knew something. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Let's look at God's perspective. Said, well, Moses fled. Moses was afraid. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, you see that? When he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he was come to years, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he said Moses was afraid. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Not fearing the wrath of the king. Moses is mighty. Moses isn't afraid of Pharaoh. Oh, he was concerned that his crime got out. But when Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, he fled in faith in what God had shown him and what he was going to do. Not fearing the wrath of the king, he forsook Egypt. All its wealth he forsook. His position of power and authority he forsook. The pleasures of the land he forsook. The perils of Egypt he forsook. The persecution he forsook. The reproach of Christ was worth far more than anything that Egypt had to offer. We don't read that in Exodus 2. But we have the whole counsel of God. And we have the opportunity, the Lord gives us more to really understand what's going on. And when it comes to perspective, the Lord just didn't look from this direction and say, well, Moses was afraid and he fled. The Lord looked at the perspective of this mighty man was full of faith. And this mighty man gave up everything that Egypt had to offer that was his. He was a grandson to Pharaoh. He was heir of the throne. And he gave it all up. For the reproach of Christ was worth far more than anything Egypt had to offer. But there was a problem. Because although Moses' heart was in the right place, God couldn't use him the way he needed to. Because Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Moses looked like an Egyptian. Moses talked like an Egyptian. Moses acted like an Egyptian. Why, when he flees to the land of Midian, and what happens? Those ladies, they go back to their father and they said, an Egyptian met us. And that was their perspective by interacting with this man. And he fled off the shepherds so that they could feed their flocks. And he fought them off. And the Bible says that in Egypt, in the world, hates shepherds. And so here's this man and brought up in that wisdom and the knowledge and understanding. And he hates shepherding. He hates God's people. And he looks like them. He talks like them. He acts like them. This man, even though he forsook Egypt and fled hundreds of miles to the land of Midian with the right heart, was still Egyptian. In his thinking, in his heart, in his dress. And Lord says, I can't use you like that. Look at go back to Acts chapter 7. I want to show you this. Something else. Acts chapter 7, and then in the other hand, get Exodus 15. It was more than just the appearance. He had the right heart. He had the faith. He had the desire to give up all of these things and make that step and make that commitment. But there was something else. Acts chapter 7, look at verse 25. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver. So this man was learning all the wisdom of the world, all the wisdom of Egypt. And that wisdom gave him the condition in his heart that he was going to do it. And he was going to do it his way. And here's a mighty man in word and in deed and in power and strength. And what does he do? His heart is in the right place, but he goes out there and he sees the burdens and he takes this man and he slays him. Because it's the wisdom of Egypt. And the Lord's, no. Moses, we're not going to do it that way. Moses had the heart condition that he was going to lead them out by his hand. So he flees, goes to the land of Midian, and we have a second 40 years of his life. Not much is given. Lord gave him a wife. Lord gave him some children. Heritage of the Lord. And the Lord gave him a job. And that was to become a shepherd. And the Lord had revealed to Moses at some point that God was going to use him to do a great and mighty work. But he couldn't use him in the condition he was in. And so we look at these parentheticals of 40 years, and that's a lifetime. 40 years. And the Lord doesn't look at time like you and I do. He says, I want to use this man. But all this wisdom and knowledge and understanding and power and might, all this stuff that he was in for decades, I can't use that. That's got to go. I'm going to bring the people out. I'm going to do it by my hand. And Moses thinks it's him. And so for 40 years, he is in this land of Midian. And the Lord's just whittling away at the thinking like Egypt, the speaking like Egypt, the appearance like Egypt, and the heart of Egypt. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. They have just, the nation has crossed the Red Sea, led by this man Moses. They have witnessed miracles, things that only God can do, and it's undeniable. The Lord says, we're going to do this my way, we're going to do this by my hand, and everybody's going to know it. And Moses somewhere in those 40 years, I often wonder if he developed something with his speech. I mean, you and I have developed things. But 40 years, we can develop a whole lot. Moses was mighty in word. But when God called him, he said, Lord, I'm slow of speech. Things happened in that 40 years where the Lord, through his circumstances, just reached into this man's heart and squeezed out the world. Moses gave something the Lord to work with. Faith and the desire to do what was right. He just didn't know how to do it all God's way. He wanted to do it, he had the desire, but if you look back at your life, you could probably see that. I remember when I got saved and I was with at a family's house, and Brother Richard, they were Catholic. And I'm out there raking, and it's New England, right? So when they don't have leaves like down here. Down here, they're not leaves. They're wannabe leaves. Up there, they're huge. They're massive. And they're acidic, and they don't break down and all this stuff. Well, up there, the leaves fall in the fall. And so when we came down here 12 years ago, it was an adjustment. We had no idea what season we were in because it was the spring and we're raking the yard. So I'm out there and I'm raking and going through all this mud, and I look up and there's a grove. Stone walls and flowers and a vertical bathtub and a statue of Mary, an idol. And man, I took all of that debris and all that mud and all that dirt, and I just threw it all over that statue. And family member came out, and I'm like, yeah, look at her. She's dirty. She's a sinner. She needs to be cleaned. And, it made sense to me. It was funny. You think it's funny, but that kind of wisdom really didn't help. And I'm sure you've got some stories of maybe when you first got saved or as you grew in years and understanding, you've got some stories where you could say, yeah, that probably didn't help. Look at Exodus 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Great victory. Lord takes them out. They cross. And then as they turn around and the Egyptian army goes in out into that Red Sea, the water comes back and just destroys them all. So it is undebatable it's the Lord's hand. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. He's my God. You go through this song, and Moses is leading the people, and it's all about what the Lord did. Moses didn't approach it like that at first. He had to learn some things. And the Lord had to separate him from Egypt and go through some things in life with his wife and with his children and with his employment to get those things out of him so that God could use him the way he wanted. And oftentimes we can look at the situations we're in our life and maybe health or employment or whatever, and it's just day after day after day after day, and 1 year and 2 years and 5 years and 10 years, and Lord's not in that kind of rush. He's trying to reach in and pull Egypt out. And he's got to put us all through different things to get to that point. Look at verse 6. Remember what Moses said? He could not understand why his brethren did not understand that the Lord was going to deliver them by his hand. Look at verse 6. This is the song. It continues. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Stay with me for a minute. Some of you are going to get squirrely. The Lord has great and mighty things for us. I'm not getting Joel Osteen on you. Relax. That's our default position. And when we do that, we miss out on the fact that the Lord has great and mighty things for us. And we glory in the salvation and the deliverance that the Lord has brought us. But he which hath begun that work has promised that he will finish it. And it's easy to look back at your life, and if you're like me, there are times where highs are real high and lows are real low. And sometimes it's hard to pull yourself out of those lows because you turn around and you see where you failed here and you see where you failed here, and everywhere you turn, it's just fail, fail, fail. But the Lord has said, he will conform us into the image of his Son. He will do it, not us. And when we try to do it with our wisdom and our understanding and our might and our hand, it's just nothing but frustration. And the Lord's got to put us in positions in life and say, I'm going to take that stuff out of you. Because you really need to understand, to really leave Egypt in here, only I can do that by my right hand. And he's going to do it. He said he would perform that work. And God is not like man. One of these days, brethren, no more sin. No more sorrow and suffering and failure. And one of these days, we are going to be made like the Son of God. That's incredible. That's incredible. We look at the salvation that God has given us and we say, oh, it's incredible, the mercy. Look what he's going to make us for all eternity. And it may take 40 years here, and it may take 40 years here, and it may take another 40. We just need to be willing. We need to walk by faith like Moses. We need to have the desire for the brethren, desire for the Lord, and he'll complete the work. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for giving us your word this morning. Thank you for this time, and Lord, to help us to, Lord, to get Egypt out of our heart and out of our mind and lips and thinking, and be more conformed to the image of your dear Son. We thank you for him. We thank you for your promise. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us, lift us up this morning, having been reminded of how good you are, how great you are, and what you're going to do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. We'll meet back at 10:30.